in the Lord's providence, because I'm filling in for Chris, I made the decision about a week ago I would take his text, and so we'll continue our account of the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 23. If you'd open there in the Bibles before you, page 21. People live, people die. And before we read God's word, permit me a reflection. Henry lived 93 years. These were the years of the life of Henry. And Henry died in Winchester, Kansas. Zachary lived 5 years. These were the years in the life of Zachary. And Zachary died in Rochester, Minnesota. Lucille lived 89 years. These were the years in the life of Lucille. And Lucille died in Evansville, Indiana. Jean lived 62 years. These were the years in the life of Jean. And Jean died in Evansville, Indiana. Amelia lived 11 days. These were the days in the life of Amelia. And Amelia died in St. Louis, Missouri. Bill lived 70 years. These were the years in the life of Bill. And Bill died in Evansville, Indiana. Wilbert lived 93 years. These were the years of the life of Wilbert. And Wilbert died in Evansville, Indiana. Scott lived 38 years. These were the years in the life of Scott. And Scott died in southern Indiana. William lived 77 years. And these were the years in the life of William. And William died in Sebring, Florida. Frank lived 84 years. These were the years of the life of Frank. And Frank died in Evansville, Indiana. Thelma lived 90 years. These were the years in the life of Thelma. And Thelma died in Evansville, Indiana. Charlotte lived 65 years. These were the years in the life of Charlotte. And Charlotte died in Boonville, Indiana. Helen lived 86 years. These were the years in the life of Helen. And Helen died in Evansville, Indiana. Florence lived 95 years. These were the years in the life of Florence. And Florence died in Evansville, Indiana. Nancy lived 63 years. These were the years in the life of Nancy. And Nancy died in Santa Claus, Indiana. Raymond lived 89 years. These were the years in the life of Raymond. And Raymond died in Melbourne, Australia. Shirley lived 90 years. These were the years in the life of Shirley. And Shirley died in Melbourne, Australia. Muriel lived 63 years. These were the years in the life of Muriel. And Muriel died in Mount Eliza, Victoria, Australia. Juliana lived 104 years. These were the years in the life of Juliana. And Juliana died in Melbourne, Australia. John lived 81 years. These were the years in the life of John. And John died in Skye, Victoria, Australia. Michael did not live outside the womb. These were the days in the life of Michael. And Michael died in Langwarrin, Victoria, Australia. Another Michael lived 37 years. These were the years in the life of Michael. And Michael died in Mount Eliza, Victoria, Australia. Barbara lived 75 years. These were the years in the life of Barbara. And Barbara died in Knightstown, Indiana. And now God's word. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years in the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land. And he said to them, if you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zophar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went in at the gate of the city. No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land. And he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, but if you will, hear me. I give the price of the field. Accept it from me that I may bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron and Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who were at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that were in it was made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. Having heard from God, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, would you teach us from your word as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in this text? Might we fear no evil because you are with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of those names I read, all but Sarah, I'm not that old, were funerals that I either performed or participated in. 23 funerals in 19 years of pastoral ministry. Some have done fewer, many have done more. Some of those who died were old and full of days. Some were just beginning or had not even begun life out of the womb. The first in the list was my grandfather. The last was my mother. There were friends. There were parents and children of friends. There were some I had known my whole life and their whole life. There were some I had never met. There were some I'd led to Christ. There were some I'd baptized. Some died of old age, some of disease, some of suicide, some of drug abuse, some of abortion, some of birth defects. People live some number of years, and people die. You're living, and you're going to die. People to whom you minister will live and die. And what can we learn about living, and what can we learn about dying from this text and the continuing story of the life of Abraham? What can we learn ourselves, but in a special way, to you who are or who will be pastors, what can you learn to help those to whom you're ministering as they live and as they die? At least four things that are hinted at in the text for us today. The first is to live well. Now, we're told that Sarah lived. That's all that we're told in this text. Well, we're told that she lived 127 years. But this text is not all we know of the life of Sarah, of Princess Sarah. That was the name God had given her. Sarah means princess. And this princess, in a small nation of three, lived. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And she had lived since about age 65 by faith. She followed her husband from their home in Ur of the Chaldeans. She waited, sometimes impatiently, for the promises of God. But as one writer put it, above it all, in her old age, she had been the mother of laughter, the son of promise. Sarah lived well because she lived by faith. Imperfectly, to be sure, but she lived by faith. The author of Hebrews tells us that she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Peter calls women among his readers to imitate the beauty of Sarah in her submission to her husband. Live well. Live by faith. And the only way for you, and the only way for the people to whom you will minister to live well, is to live so that for you to live, so that for them to live, is Christ. To live by faith. in the promises of God. Live well and help your people live well. But the text also reminds us that we must die well. Sarah died, and so will we. The wages of sin is death. We died in Adam, our first father, when we in him ate of that forbidden fruit. For God had said, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so we were born dying, and we continue dying. And death in its physicality will eventually catch up with us, whether young or old. And as we read this text, we walk in the valley of the shadow of death. The weight of death is heavy in this text. Though there's just a word that Sarah died, but 14 times death or dead or burial. In verse 2, Sarah died. In verse 4, Abraham needs a burial site so that he can bury his dead. In verse 6, bury your dead. We'll give you a burial place for the burying of your dead. In verse 8 and 9, he wants to bury his dead and needs a burial place. In verse 11, bury your dead. In verse 12, bury my dead. In verse 15, bury your dead. And in verse 19, he buried his wife. And in verse 20, this was given to him as a burial place. In the valley of the shadow of death, die well. The author of Hebrews tells us that Sarah not only lived by faith, but she died in faith. All these, the author says, died in faith. Teach your people, those whom God has given you to minister to, how to live well and how to die well. How to live by faith and how to die in faith, believing the promises of God even if you haven't and don't see them. If for you to live is Christ, then for you to die is gain. So live well and die well and mourn well. Abraham mourned. He wept for his wife. Mourning and weeping. Real grief. Not sinful, not weakness seen here in godly Abraham, but all through the scripture and other godly people. And as was mentioned from this pulpit yesterday, seen in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus wept. We need to learn how to grieve, how to mourn. We need to be able to teach our people how to grieve, how to mourn. Funerals are not merely a celebration of life. To be sure, for the Christian, there is that strong element. But funerals are a place to grieve, to weep for the loss of life. Like our Savior, who wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. Mourn well. And to do that, you must mourn, but not without hope. You must grieve, but not without hope. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have died, those who have fallen asleep, that you may not grieve as those do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Live well, die well, mourn well, and bury well. Those of you who are pastors or are going to be pastors, you better decide early how to bury well. What will you do, young pastor, when the funeral home calls and asks you to do the funeral of someone that you've never met? What will you say, young pastor,
when you have no idea if the person you are burying knew Christ savingly, or when you know that they didn't? What will you read, young pastor, at the graveside of a member of your church or at the graveside of an unbeliever? I've not found anything much more helpful than questions 84 to 90 in the Westminster Larger Catechism for a graveside service. What will you do, young pastor, when you have to bury a member of your congregation
who has committed suicide? Or you receive a call from strangers who want you to bury their unborn child who, it seems likely, died from abortion? What will you do, young pastor, when one of your members wants cremation so they can, in effect, set up a shrine in their home to keep this loved one close to them? Or press their ashes into jewelry so they can always wear them close? How will you preach, young pastor, when you can do nothing but sob in the announcement of this untimely death? How will you preach, new pastor, with little or no time to prepare? Death rarely makes advance appointments. And how will you preach, young pastor, to get to the gospel clearly and gently and urgently? Bury well and keep learning from others how to bury better. Sarah died, and Abraham mourned, and then he wanted to bury his wife. But where was he? Where was Abraham, a foreigner, a stranger, a nomad in this land? In this land that had been promised to him by God, and yet he had no fixed property. Where was he to bury his wife? And so the story gives us the account of the haggling over a burial place. And Abraham willingly pays the mentioned price that those who study the economy of that day suggest was exorbitant, probably thrown out there with the expectation that there'd be a bargaining back and forth. But Abraham wanted to be indebted to no one but God. And so he paid the full price. He bought this burial plot as a down payment of the promised possession of the land from God. By faith, he bought this land and buried Sarah in it. In just a few chapters, chapter 25, we read that Abraham himself was buried in it. And then we get down to chapter 35, and Isaac was buried in this land. And we get down to the end of Genesis in chapters 47 and 49 and 50, and we see that Jacob made his sons promise not to bury him in the land of Egypt, but take him back and bury him with his fathers in the land that his father Abraham had purchased. Why was it so important? Because they were looking for a land, a city whose architect and builder was God. As Calvin said, while they, that is Abraham and Sarah themselves, were silent in death, the grave cried aloud that death was no obstacle to their entering on the possession of what God had promised. And for you, and for the believers to whom you will minister and bury, and perhaps in God's grace for the unbelievers that attend the funerals that you preach, death is no obstacle to entering the possession of what God has promised. And so for you, for me, and for our people, live well, die well, mourn well, bury well, so that Christ will be honored in your body, whether by life or by death. Please pray with me. Father, I do pray, especially for these men who are or who will be pastors, that you would give them wisdom and insight, tenderness and yet clarity in the gospel in the face of death. Help us to live well by faith in your promises. Help us to die well. Die in faith, believing your promises, even if we haven't seen them yet. Help us to mourn well and to bury well, that you might be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing
as we close from Psalm 48, Selection B. 48, Selection C. It's B in the old book. Notice the end of the last stanza. That you may generations tell, for what a God is He. He is our God forevermore, who guides eternally. He is our guide forevermore, our God forevermore, who guides eternally. God guides us even to death. Let's stand and sing His praise, Psalm 48C.